Chapter 50, The Clouds Burst. When autism first began being documented in the psychiatric hospitals in Baltimore and Vienna in the late 1930s, its origins were immediately assumed to be genetic. Mental illness was widely thought to be an inherited disorder, the reason eugenics programs were originally started. This was not a fringe belief, but part of basic medical dogma any physician would have operated within. The families of the children that Connor and Asperger had seen caused a great deal of confusion. In one way, the homogeneous nature of their families might have confirmed a genetic link. The parents seemed to resemble each other more similarly than had ever been documented with any other mental illness. But their resemblance was in such a peculiar column, it would confound all who studied it. The parents were professionals, psychiatrists, attorneys, college professors. They were outstanding mothers and fathers whose accomplishments would have put the average citizen to shame. This association was so distinct and unusual, it was tossed about and examined for years, thought to be an essential clue to understanding the genetic origins of the disorder. After mounting frustration, the belief autism had been inherited from the parents was abandoned in favor of the deficient parenting model. This theory, promulgated for decades by the world's leading psychiatrists, eventually ended in failure, succeeding only in creating a generation of mothers ruined by the belief their inferior maternal instincts had caused their children suffering. Since that time, a few environmental causes were timidly explored, and without any other obvious causes to investigate, something interesting happened. The quest for a genetic cause of the disorder found new life. With improvements in the understanding of the relationships between DNA, genotypes, and phenotypes, the quest to unpack the source of autism began to interest scientists again. Gone was the crude Mendelian inheritance of old, where obvious physical attributes of one or both parents could be traced down through their offspring. Armed with cutting-edge technology and seemingly unlimited research budgets, the men and women in white lab coats would set to work using their sophisticated equipment to peer deep within the blueprint of life and figure out exactly where autism came from. The old scientific guard, famous for their heroic quest to develop a polio vaccine, must have looked on in excitement as America and her marvelous innovations geared up for battle once more, this time to tackle autism, the most baffling medical mystery of modern times. Decades have passed. Technology has improved. Scientists have retired, and new ones have filled their place. But one thing has not changed. Autism appears to have nearly nothing to do with genetics. Billions of dollars have been spent. Entire facilities have been dedicated to the search. Careers have been made, and books have been written. But incredibly, the underpinnings of the disorder are as opaque as they have ever been. It is certainly not for lack of funding or technology. Since the second attempt to pin the disorder on genetics, the origins of many other diseases with far less funding or awareness have been unlocked. The origins of Tay-Sachs, a rare neurological disease that most have never heard of, has been clearly illuminated by recent scientific technology. If one were to go on the National Institutes of Health website and look up Tay-Sachs, a list of the symptoms would be followed by three paragraphs explaining how a specific gene mutation within the hexa gene disrupts the production of an enzyme normally responsible for the breakdown of a fatty acid in the brain. Without this enzyme, the acid builds up and neurological decay is inevitable. With a pittance of funding or scientific interest compared to autism, the reason some children develop Tay-Sachs has become crystal clear. It is a specific genetic mutation that stands out like a sore thumb on the sophisticated machinery of the modern lab. Batten's disease is another neurological disorder of which most have never heard. It is a horrible disease that is fortunately very rare, and as a result, there are no famous celebrities attending charity fundraisers to raise awareness. The amount of money spent researching the disorder is almost nothing compared to that spent on autism. Like Tay-Sachs, the National Institutes of Health website has a thorough explanation of the exact genetic malfunction which triggers the disease. In fact, Batten's disease has been grouped into 13 subtypes, and they've been able to figure out the genetic cause for each and every one. With very little funding or support compared to autism, parents, scientists, and researchers have been able to understand the specific cause of battens. With both Tay-Sachs and battens, the reason they were able to discover these genetic causes is because a genetic cause was there to find. With our best and brightest manning our sophisticated equipment, the origins of these disorders shone brightly, like blood spatter under a UV light. With 100 times more funding and firepower, the scientists of genetic autism have labored in vain, some of them for their entire careers. Fragile X, the single most common gene disorder associated with autism, constitutes only 5% of cases. To confound matters, just 30% of children with the Fragile X mutation develop autism. Beyond this single mutation lies a rocky, barren wasteland of obscure scientific theory linking one of 100 possible autism-related genetic defects to another, then to another, finally arriving at a hypothetical explanation that only the author and their peers could understand. None of which explained the consistent age of onset, the male-to-female ratio, or why it began to appear more frequently in the 1930s. As is the case with any biological event, genetics will play a part, no matter how small. For many of the other neurological illnesses that scientists have studied, the cause was readily identified, usually a single, obvious mutation whose connection to the disorder was plain to see. With autism, nothing besides Fragile X appears to play a significant role, and even that mutation is woefully scarce amongst those with the disorder. If genetic research could explain the cause of autism, it would have done so years ago. Given the immense scientific efforts, a smoking gun should have appeared, just as it has with most other disorders. Unfortunately, it hasn't. On the National Institutes of Health website, the explanation for autism after billions of dollars of funding reads as such. Quote, "While scientists don't know the exact causes of autism spectrum disorder, research suggests that genes can act together with influences from the environment to affect development in ways that lead to autism spectrum disorder." Although scientists are still trying to understand why some people develop autism spectrum disorder and others don't, some risk factors include having a sibling with autism spectrum disorder, having older parents, having certain genetic conditions. People with conditions such as Down syndrome, Fragile X syndrome, and Rett syndrome are more likely than others to have autism spectrum disorder, very low birth weight. End quote. In their search for a genetic cause of autism, scientists have fought valiantly. They have moved the chains. They have made progress. They have developed technology and techniques that have been applied elsewhere to illuminate the cause of many other diseases. But for autism, it remains a mystery, undisturbed. The quest for a genetic origin has failed a second time. But perhaps we should not close the door on the role of inheritance in autism just yet. Vaccines may provide one final gift, one last bit of devilry capable of causing harm in a way that may haunt us for generations to come.